Well, good evening, dear friends. I've got 87% on my phone. I need to get my lazy rear end up and plug it into its charger. Because I always like to run at 100%. 100% is not that much if you really think about it. When we could talk about billionth percent, etc. So, just stating what I believe to be true. So here we are, Saturday night, Memorial Day weekend, and I am not even about to go out. Until tomorrow. All right. So, well, I've got a little Dave Matthews playing in the background. I don't think y'all can hear that, but it's on YouTube. What have I been listening to recently? Big Head Todd and the Monsters. That's the answer. Todd, I've seen Todd live in 2000. No. No. I've seen him with long hair and short hair. And it's crazy, man. Crazy. This dude just trips me out for some reason. Because if you YouTube his Red Rock, if you YouTube their Red Rocks concert, I mean, he looks like a dude who just, you know, you'd pull up at, oh, goodness gracious, what is the name of that restaurant on Kavanaugh where, oh, my goodness, that Mexican restaurant. Oh, jeez. That is so bad, Josh, man. Anyway, a gentleman named Ben Brainerd opened up all those. I don't have to tell y'all the history of what he has done for food in the city of Little Rock. I guess you can email me with your comments, perchance. And tell me what that restaurant is, or because I can't the name of that restaurant because that has completely, but anyway, he would just be like one of the dudes who you just pull up next to at the bar up there. I haven't drank any alcohol in, goodness gracious, since September 2006. So I don't know much, but, I know that, I, self-medicated myself, and, sometimes you have to do that. Goodness gracious, holy cow. So here we are, Memorial Day weekend, and Big Head Todd in this Red Rocks concert. I mean, he looks just like this dude he'd be sitting next to the bar at, you know. But he kills it on the guitar. I never knew that the lead singer of Big Head Todd and the Monsters, which is actually Todd. Todd, I think his last name starts with a B. But wouldn't that be kind of cool, you know, just to walk around and be like, yeah. But he seems like, this dude seems, his face just, he looks like a cool, I'm not going to cuss because I've, made it a point not to cuss on anything that would be broadcast. Made some stupid decisions in the past with that, like when I was this is funny, when I was drinking, I was up like at 7 a.m. or something, and a friend of mine does morning radio here in Little Rock, and I called his show. This was like in 2004, and I said, "So and so, you dumb motherfucker," like that, or I don't know. It was not nice. They had to hang up on me. He had to hang up. I think they were doing like a live. They were doing like a live spot, like at a Walmart in Benton. I saw him at Kroger one day. It's funny. But anyway, such is life in the fast lane. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. Love it. Love it. So I'm still sitting in my chair. And I haven't played any freaking music for y'all. So that's gonna be my next thing that I do. For sure, for sure. So find the remote. That's task number one, isn't it? All right. I know it can't be too far away. Oh man. It is. I haven't seen it yet. Jeez. My luck. My luck. So yep, we're gonna have some dead air. Where would that sucker be? Man, what a bummer. That's wild. Let me turn this segment off and find the remote. I was just kidding at first. Like, I thought it was around here for sure. So let me turn this segment off until I find the remote. Peace. What's going on, everybody? This is take two of my late May Memorial Day weekend podcast. I ended up talking to myself for like 20 minutes, I think, but I actually was talking about myself on the podcast, and I was being honest with y'all, and I said that I have developed a habit of talking to myself in the past couple of months. And the conclusion that I've come to is that if talking to myself is the worst thing that I'm doing, then I'm okay. I'm good. So I was at the pharmacy the other day just putting in my debit card, and I was like, all right, now I gotta press this. And we're pretty friendly. I said I've developed, because I haven't been in there in a little while. I said I've developed a habit of talking to myself. And then that's exactly what I said after that. I said, if that's the worst thing that I'm doing, then I'm all right. So anyway, it is now 11:42. I have got a Tony's pizza on a pizza tray. It's not cut yet. It needs to be cut. I'm letting it cool down a little bit. Got that going on, so Good times. I got a gallon of Milo's iced tea. Good music. On take one, we heard a little Big Head Todd and the Monsters. So I'm gonna definitely do that again. And if we're gonna talk about music, we might as well play music. So that means me shutting up. A little Dave Matthews, no. It's my favorite Big Head Todd song. I'm amazed. I've seen Big Head Todd, not in person, live in '96. I've seen him with short hair and long hair, and the show that this is from, it's from Red Rocks on YouTube, on YouTube, just the app. I buy the premium package. It's a heck of a deal for $11. It won't close on you. When you're in a different app, and it also that includes YouTube Music, which I think is the best collection of music. But Big Head Todd looks like somebody that you would just sit next to the bar and I mean just start up a chat with at this concert. It's crazy. This dude looks like a very nice guy. And I just learned that Big Head Todd is actually the lead singer and lead guitar player. Because I was trying to figure out for like a week, like, who is Big Head Todd? Which one of them is Big Head Todd? They finally, he at the end of the show, I think he just goes through who everybody is, and then he's like, "I'm Todd." I think his last name starts with a B, but this guy can play the guitar so amazing.
So
If you don't wanna go home, I understand. Here's the whole concert. It starts out in this daylight. y'all want to hear my Mitch Hedberg impression? All right, so here it is. If you run out of gas at a gas station, did you do your job? Think about that for a second. And Reese needs to have his candy because that is an apostrophe S showing possession. At night, sometimes in my room, I'm talking too much now. Mitch Hedberg's the best. All right, so that's the end of my Mitch Hedberg impression. All right, so I'd like to watch this. I'd also like to eat my pizza. I'm just looking through the different choices. Bob Marley and the Wailers. Okay. All right. So many choices, I don't even know where to begin. We'll just listen to Big Head Todd. I think y'all can hear that. Oh, Alanis Morissette. Okay. of these antibiotics. How about doing it when I'm full of? How about transparenting, rolling carrots? How about the end? Thank you, India. Thank you, disillusionment. How about me unquieting you for everything?
How about me enjoying a moment for once?
How about the files to finally forgive you? How about the all one matter of time? Thank you, India. Thank you, terror. Thank you, disillusionment. Thank you, frailty. Thank you, consequence. Thank you, silence. The moment I let go of it was the moment I got more I could handle. The moment I jumped off of it was the moment I touched down. How about it no longer being masochistic? How about remembering your infinity?
That's called deification or deitization.
How about the miraculously bawling eyes out? How about overcoming death with starving?
Thank you.
park, yo. shadow sing outside a bedroom window. She dreams in a dream. She's not so far as she seems. Her mind is not still in some sense, but her bones in the breeze. She can't see me watching. La 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 la. It's a bittersweet, a sweetly bitter, bitter than sweet. It's a bittersweet surrender. It's a bittersweet, a sweetly bitter, bitter than sweet. It's a bittersweet surrender. Obviously, jeez. And we walked away around each other as we tremble and we bleed, and we tremble and we bleed, and we tremble and we bleed. and we tremble and we bleed. It's bittersweet, a sweet and bitter that's sweet. It's a bittersweet surrender.
I did not come up with that.
Come out. No use in hiding.
Smooth. move on, or I will bury you. This land is my land. This land was made. I'll fill heaven and call it earth. My justice. And one but me, don't drink the water. There's blood in the water. Yeah. Drink the water. Drink the water. Yeah. Don't drink the water. Should we continue with the Dave Fest? I don't think so. I'm just wanted to talk about a couple of things. Let's see how much time we have left. We've got about 20 minutes.
Wonderful. Wonderful class.
All right, so let me turn the music down. Oh. I've misplaced the remote again. I'm not even kidding you. I ate that pizza while that was going, all that good music was going on. Don't particularly care for the song. Some of my favorite is.
And I'm so lost that this losing feels like dying.
All right, let's do that. I think I spotted it over there. Yep. All right. Good. So, I was talking about the Roman Empire in the first millennium, and a lot of people think, oh, first 1,000 years after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, not much happened. Nothing could be further from the truth. Theologically, commercially, commerce. We saw Constantinople obtain great wealth in gold. They were right on the route of the Silk Road. The Roman Empire in the first century, if we look on a map, all right, we're gonna want to look at the Mediterranean Sea. And the Mediterranean was not always there. It was the Strait of Gibraltar was closed, and that just shows you how powerful water is. It ate away this rock and spilled over and formed the Mediterranean Sea. I forgot the name of the event. You can look it up, how the Mediterranean Sea was formed. But here, not only do we find the roots of civitatis, civilization, we find wonderful food. We find a mix of religious beliefs. Jerusalem was viewed for many, many years as the center of the world, and Jericho being the oldest city in the world. That's according to Dr. Warren Carroll, PhD, Columbia, also founded a university. that's not doing very much with your life. But he wrote a 6-volume history of Christianity that is in direct opposition to the secular and just kind of put forth to prove a philosophical or maybe even political point, and that's Edmund Gibbon's The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. I would not recommend reading that book. You heard me correctly. I have been studying history now since I was 19, and I'm 44. And it took me going away to the Catholic seminary to really understand the growth of Western civilization, the importance of Greco-Roman ideals. So Gibbon, I'm not very familiar with, really, but I don't like him. I'm kind of talking out of my rear end now. No, but Warren Carroll, a 6-volume work, is much, much better. If you're looking for a history of philosophy, Frederick Copleston's work is the primary avenue that you want to take there, kiddos. But let's talk about Rome, okay? So to talk about Rome, we have to go back to Alexander the Great. And of course, Alexander studied under the wonderful Aristotle. He was from Macedonia originally. And at his death, he was planning to conquer the Arabian Peninsula. Then turn his attention to Africa. He died in his early 30s. So he conquered all the lands around the Mediterranean Sea, and went to India, and I think suffered maybe a slight defeat, but Dr. Carroll says that he was never defeated in battle. So this is where the Greek influence comes in. It's because of Alexander the Great and his military accomplishments. And when he died, different areas of Alexander's empire were given to his generals. Thus we have the Seleucids, I think, in Syria. That particular general controlled Syria, that region. And then Ptolemy, the famous Ptolemy, I'm sure. I think he did some scientific work. I'm not for sure, but Ptolemy was a general of Alexander, and of course, he ruled over Egypt. So we have the Greek ideal in place throughout North Africa, Eastern, what's called Asia Minor, into the Holy Land, we have to talk about two individuals in particular when we're talking about the Roman Empire, and I'm getting to kind of the beauties of it in the 900s. But we have to talk about Julius Caesar, and we have to talk about a man named Octavian. And Octavian became Augustus. He was Augustus Caesar. And he established the Pax Romani Julius certainly did his part, and there was much peace, and he did a lot to help the Jewish people, the chosen people. So, so around the time of Christ's birth, we have the Pax Romani. And this is an ideal. It's not only an event, but it's an ideal that the Romans had set up following Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle's view of human nature. And let's fast forward to let's go to the year 200 AD, and we start to see theological schools develop in two particular places. One in Alexandria, Egypt, and two in Antioch, which is, I believe, today in modern day Turkey. For some reason, the the Antiochian church moved their headquarters from Antioch to Damascus, somewhere along the line. But if it's not in Turkey, it would be in Syria. But it's in Turkey. So anyway, Rome, these theological schools, and the theological school in Alexandria was heavily influenced by this Greek philosophy. The school in Antioch was more focused on interpreting scripture correctly, kind of a more literal approach to interpreting sacred scripture. We've got 9 minutes left. Alexandria produced a man called Origen, and Origen would have been a saint had he not, legend has it, castrated himself. And that's why he's not a saint, because to become a saint, you have to recognize that your body is a temple itself, a dwelling place for God. So to mutilate that to that degree disqualifies Origen from both the East and West from declaring him to be in heaven. They do not say that. I believe the East does not. I could be wrong. So these two schools developed, and when we're talking about the first 1,000 years of Christianity, we have to talk about what's called the Pentarchy, or the five major centers of Christianity in the Roman Empire. That it was Rome, Constantinople, Antioch, Jerusalem, and last but not least, Alexandria. And these were great places of commerce. They were great places of theological debate. They were actual schools, like a modern day school. Like people would attend the school in Alexandria. It wasn't just kind of like a group of people who think the same way, but it was actually a school. And so let's fast forward a little bit. I've got 5 minutes left with y'all. Let's fast forward to the Council of Chalcedon in 451. And here we see Saint Leo the Great. Saint Leo is absolutely a saint in the East. We see Leo's tomb regarding what is known as the Monophysite crisis, and some had said that Christ only has one nature, and St. Leo the Great, who was one of my choices for a religious name, Leo. It means lion, and Leo was known as the Prince of the Homeless. So that's why I liked him so much. His homilies are just amazing. He defined the nature of Christ as being twofold, human and divine, in one person. And this was inserted into the Council of Chalcedon, voted in by the bishops in attendance. And sadly, Christians broke from the fold at this point. And it had happened once before with the Nestorians. And they are known today as the Eastern Oriental churches. It is very, very true that heresies never go away. That's a fact, Jack, according to Guy Mancini. I tell you what, there's so much to talk about, but we need to talk about the Pax Romani. And how that kind of relates to the growth of the eastern part of the empire, the west, the savages, the barbarians had the Visigoths. Had pretty much torn up the place, a lot of the time, Constantine moved the capital of the Roman Empire to Constantinople in the 310s, because he saw Rome. The buildings were in shambles and. But from Constantinople, the emperors would make these deals with the Visigoths to kind of give them some money and keep them quiet a little while, kind of let them live a little bit on the sometimes inside the boundaries of the Roman Empire. To the north, the Rhineland was pretty much the northern boundary, other than England. But so Constantine bolted from Rome, and Rome was no longer the capital of the Roman Empire. I think a lot of people don't realize that. Starting in like 312, and right around the time he issued the Edict of Milan, the famous famous Edict of Milan, which provided for the practice of all religions. It wasn't until Theodosian, the great Saint Theodosian in the East, who made Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. So, hopefully I will have, a little bit better, hopefully we'll really see this come into fruition. Gee, mini Christmas. I cannot talk. I must be really tired. That's a hard word to say. But we will talk about this Pax Romani and how we implement that into our daily lives. I've got 8 seconds left. Bye-bye.